Let us pray. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for this day. Pray thy blessings upon your word, O God, that your word will go forth as you have already ordained it and intended it, God. Thank you for this privilege of worshiping you and serving you. Bless your people, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Today we want to talk about the majority-minority report. The majority/minority report. We're getting conflicting reports. It reminds me of a group of people looking at a car accident. You ask each one of them, and they see something a little different. But this is a little different because they all saw the same thing, but fear kicked in. Oh, fear won't change what God bless you, but fear can block you from your blessing. Amen. Fear won't change what God promised you, but fear can block you from your blessing. By the time you get to Numbers 13, according to the timeline in my Bible, they're less than a year in the wilderness. And imagine if you were in the wilderness, you just were delivered from Egypt, you really have no place to call home, and God, who delivered you from Egypt, promises to give you a place flowing with milk and honey, all for you. What would your reaction be? Well, how do you think the Israelites responded to this gift from God? Well, to answer that last question, let us take a closer look at Numbers 13 and consider these 3 points. Number one, the majority report. The majority report is based on fear. You got to be careful when you follow the crowd. The majority report. I like folks that don't mind being different, don't mind being called weird sometimes, because they see things a little differently, and sometimes you need to. So number one, the majority report based on fear. Number two, the minority report based on faith. So number one, majority report based on fear. Number two, the minority report based on faith. And number three, God's response to both reports. Amen. God has a response. But in the beginning of Numbers 13, you will find God speaking to Moses and saying, send thou men, in verse 2, that they may search the land of Canaan. This is the most important part, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And then verses 4 through verses 16 list the 12 men that were sent to spy out the land that God was going to give them. I need to make sure that we understand when God going to give you something, he's going to give it to you. Regardless of what you see when you get there. God said he's going to give it to you. So look what happened in verse 17 of Numbers 13. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land. What it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether it be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they may be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. Listen to this. And be ye of good courage. I wonder why he told them that. Go check out the land. Tell me who's there. God's going to give it to us, but go check it out. Tell me who's there. And be ye of good courage. And bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Look at 21. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men cometh to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. I said, what they put that in there for? My Bible says it was an archaeological note. For some reason, it's important. We won't be able to get into that today. So sorry. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Those grapes were so nice and so large, they had to put it on a staff, two men. Not that stuff you get in the supermarket. You know, I'm talking about some real stuff. And sometimes God, when he gives you something, he wants you to see what it is he's giving you. He may want you to look to see who's there and what's there to show you how much he loves you. And look at verse 24. The place was called the Brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. Now here comes the reports. And they returned from searching of the land after how many days?
40 days.
You find out later on that ties into the 40 years in the wilderness. Because sometimes I was so hurt, God gets fed up with us sometimes. And verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. They came back. They had the fruit with them, and the pomegranates and the figs was evidence that this land is flowing with milk and honey. Look at verse 27. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely, yeah, it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Now listen to the majority report. 12 spies went, 10 of them had this report. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. This is what 10 of the 12 saw. Now, you said me, I'm going to remember God saying he going to give it to me. He didn't say they had to fight for it. He said, I'm going to give it to you. But here they are. Nevertheless, it flows with milk and honey. But the people there be strong. They dwell, and the cities are walled and very great. And look at 29. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites. Now, I met somebody like that. They couldn't get their blessing because they were telling me all the negative things they found out when they got there to go ahead and put in for the position. If God said he's going to give you the job, don't come back and give me a report about all the negative stuff that you found. Go ahead, fill out the application. Go through the interview. Do what they tell you. Because God, don't tell me about the interview ain't like me. I don't want to hear all that. The Amalekite that interviewed me didn't like me. But God already told you, you've been praying for it, I'm going to give you this. So don't worry about what you see. But they said the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. But look at I don't want to go to verse 30 just yet. That's my boy Caleb, Johnson Caleb. They're the two that had the minority report. But the majority report, they kind of messed the people up. Because they came out to give a report to the people. And what they're basically saying is, God said he's going to give us the land, but we might as well stay here. I'd rather stay here with nothing than to go up there and get something. Look at verse 31. Because after Caleb tried to tell him, we can do it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. In verse 32, and they brought up an evil report, an unfavorable report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land for which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. But wait a minute. If it eats up the inhabitants, who do you see there? It should be about one person that they ate up everybody else, right? Oh, my God. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. This is that majority report. Look at Numbers 14:1. What happened? And all the congregation did what? Lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. God get ready to bless them, but because of the majority report, and these were the rules of the tribe that they sent, somebody's supposed to be a leader, somebody's supposed to have faith, they come back with a bad report, and the whole congregation, the whole church went crazy. We can't build no new church. It's a few of us. God ain't say that. And look at verse 2. And they murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. You got to be careful, rulers and leaders, what kind of report you giving out. Because, see, when you give up the wrong kind of report, you're going to mess folk up. You're going to mess them up. They feel like, oh, we got to kill Moses and Aaron. They're trying to jam us. And you forget who kept you while you were in Egypt, and who kept you through the Red Sea, and who's going to keep you while you're in the wilderness. But look at the minority report. Go back to Numbers 13 and 30. And Caleb told the people, chill for a minute. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all well able to overcome it. That's powerful. There are some people in the church that can grab the vision and say, by faith, we can do it. Then there's some folks that say, by fear, we can't. God said he's going to give it to us. God said he's going to do it. But two of the 12 said, we can go up and overtake this thing. And 10 of them said, no. So the congregation said, let's listen to the majority report and forget the minority report, because I guess they didn't know what two or three gathered in my name, touching the green. There I am. You can't always go with the crowd. That's why sometimes when you're a leader, you got to go where God told you. That's why you got to be very careful when you start voting on stuff. If God told you what to vote for. But Caleb said we can do it. And that's the minority report. The minority report said we can go up and we can do this thing. But the majority report said we can't, so they got all upset. And look at verse 2 of chapter 14. And they murmured against Moses, against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, would God we had died in this wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Leaders, be careful what you tell folks. Leaders of your houses, be careful what you put your family through. And they say one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Otherwise, I can't deal with Aaron and Moses no more. They got us all messed up out here, talking about God gonna give us this land. We went to spy out the land. Sure, it flowed with milk and honey. But how are we gonna get the land with all these Amalekites there, the Hittites there, and all these giants in the land? How's God gonna give us the land the same way he got you out of Egypt? The same way he blew the east wind? The same way that the Red Sea divided and you walked out on ground or on dry soil, and then the Red Sea came back together and killed Pharaoh and his army? The same way. Why can we not continue the blessing? Why every time I need something, I got to feel like I go back to first base? Why can't I remember what God has already done? Why I can't remember how great he already is? But fear will do that. Fear will make you forget that God has blessed you half your life. That get you to fretting and biting off your nails and drinking this and drinking that and calling up everybody and sweating and can't sleep at night. Has God been good to you? Look at verse 6 for the minority report. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They were so upset, they rent their clothes, said, we can do this. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, and he must delight in us, because he said he's going to give it to us. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which flow with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. And they said, no, we're not rebelling against the Lord. We're rebelling against Moses and Aaron. Well, who do you think Moses and Aaron represent? If you got a spiritual leader that's walking with the Lord, follow them after they follow Christ, and you rebel against them as they follow Christ, who are you rebelling against? You rebel against the one that sent them, the one that said, hey, go get 12 rulers of the tribes and send them to survey the land, because I'm going to give you this land. So Joshua and Caleb said, no, we can't let this happen. We can do this. They already remember what God had already done. That's awesome when you remember what God has already done. That's why the doctor look at you crazy. The doctor give you bad news. You say, well, okay. All right, thank you. At least I know what to tell God. They look at you kind of strange. They said, rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. They are bread for us. What do you do with bread? Eat it up. Put some stuff on it. Put some jelly on it. Oh, Lord. Make you a sandwich. He said, they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But look at verse 10. Look what happened because of the majority report. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. But then what happened? Look at the rest part of that verse. Who showed up? And the glory of the Lord. Because when you reject God's blessings, God gets upset. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. But he spoke to Moses. How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs that I have showed among them? God said, wait a minute, Moses. I'm getting kind of tired of trying to bless people. But they don't believe me for the blessing. And he got mad. Look at verse 12. I'm going to smite them with pestilence and disinherit them. Will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said, Lord, don't do that. Because then the Egyptians are going to say, you didn't keep your promise. And because you didn't keep your promise, you are getting rid of all of us. And then they said the Egyptians are going to say, hey, wait a minute now. Where's that great God that they serve? Where is that great God? And then God says, okay, Moses. And verse 18, the Lord is patient of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. What he say is, I'm going to forgive them this time. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to forgive them. But his response to the majority report was, I'm about ready. I'm through with y'all. You ever been through with some folks? Everything you try to tell them is just no good. It ain't going to work. You ever been around somebody been negative all their life? Every time you try to tell them something, oh, it ain't going to, no, I don't see how you going to do that. Get away from them folk. You won't be able to go anywhere. And sometimes they're just jealous of you. They don't want you to have nothing. But look at verse 20 of chapter 14. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, Moses. I have pardoned. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened unto my voice. He said, they tempted me 10 times. Number one, they didn't trust me at the crossing of the Red Sea. Number two, they complained of a bitter water at Marah. Number three, they complained in the wilderness of sin. Number four, they collected more than a daily quota of manna. Number five, they collected manna on the Sabbath. Number six, they complained over lack of water at Rephidim. Number seven, they committed idolatry with a golden calf. Number eight, they complained at Taberah. Number nine, more complaining of the lack of delicious food. Number ten, failing to trust God to enter the promised land. I'm tired of it. I've been with you and I love you. I've been doing everything for you. And all you can do is complain and complain and complain and complain. I'm tired of it. He said, guess what? You shall not see the land which I swear unto your fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb and Joshua, I love you. He said, Caleb had another spirit. Said, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. That's powerful. Because God remembered Joshua and Caleb's testimony. The other 10, they didn't care. They didn't care that the congregation was getting ready to go crazy and stone Moses and Aaron. They said, let it be done. You better be careful who your leaders are. Careful who you send out to survey the land. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear this evil congregation? Fear will mess up God's plan for your life. It'll mess up the plan for your family. It'll mess up the plan for the community, the plan for the neighborhood, the plan for the church, the plan for the world. That's why you got to have spiritual vision. That's why you've got your mind's got to be renewed. When you come to Christ, you need to get some spiritual vision, because it's not a natural thing anymore. It is now spiritual. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. Whatever God said to you, you got to see it by faith. You got to see yourself being blessed. You got to see yourself coming off drugs. You got to see your marriage coming back together. You got to see your child graduating from school. You got to see your body healed. You got to see yourself with a job. You got to see yourself with a new house. You got to see yourself with a new car. You got to see yourself praising God. You got to see yourself lifting up Jesus. You got to see yourself no longer living but walking by the grace of God. You got to see yourself in this state, and you can't see it in the natural. Joshua and Caleb saw it in the spirit. They saw themselves living it. They said, I'm tired of this wilderness residence. I don't even have an address. When the mailman comes, he called out my name. Where are you today, Joshua? I got mail for you. I want an address. I want a place that I can lay down my head. I want a place that I can call home. But you got to see it by faith. Amen. That's how this church was built. We were fearful at first. The guy said, what y'all looking all sad for? I said, we ain't got no building. You told us to start a church. He said, you got a house? What the heck are you talking about? Don't you know in the book of Acts, you know, they had church in houses? What's wrong with y'all? You think you can't have no church up in here? Go get some carpet and put it in that old raggedy basement and have church up in there. Glory be to God. But you got to be able to see. Then you got to act on it. You can't be fearful. Faith has to replace the fear. You got to go ahead and do what you need to do. And guess what? It does not all come together at one time. Because you still got people, you still got the congregation, still got the other 10 spies to tell you, y'all ain't going to be nothing. That church ain't going to be nothing. But you got to go with what God told you. You ever had somebody all up in your ear, you just had to just cancel them out? Anybody change their cell phone number recently? Look at verse 28. God told Moses, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. He told the congregation that went against his blessing. He said, this is what he told them. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. He saved the children, because it wasn't the children. There wasn't some of the young adults' fault. No, there wasn't. It's 18. Okay. He said, let me move on. I didn't get an amen yet. No, he said from 20 years old and upward. What he's basically saying, you all are old enough to understand that I've been good to you. And what he's really saying, that when people come to your church or to your house with a bad report, you ought to have enough faith in God of your own to be able to tell them, I don't want to hear that. I don't subscribe to that. My God that I serve wouldn't send me to survey something and say you don't give it. My God don't play games. But he said, guess what? Since y'all murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come to the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell there, and save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said shall be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. Lord have mercy. Guess what? Y'all said that you should have gone back to Egypt, that Moses brought you out to die in the wilderness. Y'all just talking all gets together. You will die in the wilderness. But I'm going to save your children. They're going to get into the promised land. Wow. You better be careful what you cry against God. But your children, look at verse 33. Shall wander in the wilderness what? And bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Why were they in there 40 years? After the number of days in which you searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. What he's basically saying is, 40 days, you surveyed the land. And now because, you know, some of you didn't believe it, so 40 years, 1 year, for each you know, for each day they were served out, 1 year for the breach of promise, 40 years your children. I'm trying to let somebody know, when you mess up, it falls on your children. Even though your carcass may die, even though you might be dead, God said, I got to deal with this stuff. I can't stand when people talk about, yeah, I'm only hurting myself. Where'd you get that from? They were trying to mess up an entire congregation. But God said, you know what? I like the minority report. So I'm going to bless Caleb. I'm going to bless Joshua. I'm going to bless the young ones. But for those of you that ought to know better, for those of you that I called out to be leaders, for those of you supposed to be exercising some faith, because you've been coming against me so much, I'm going to give you your wish. You said you'd be better if you had been in Egypt. You're going to die in the wilderness. Guess what? Your carcass shall fall. I know that's a rough word on a good Sunday afternoon like this, ain't it? That's some messed up stuff. But basically, all he's saying is, look, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of going back and forth to you all. When are you going to exercise some faith? Has God ever spoken to anybody in this church about when you're going to exercise some faith? Why do you not believe that I'm going to bless you? Why do you not believe I'm going to bring you out? You know why? Because every time you go to survey the blessing that I promised you, you look at the Amalekites instead of looking at the grapes. You look at the Hittites instead of looking at the land flowing with milk and honey. You look at all the bad stuff, because most of us, that's what our lives have been. A whole bunch of negativity. A whole bunch of bad stuff. But I come to let you know, now that you met the Lord and the Lord loves you and you love Him, your life's about to change. God's going to turn some things around for you. And you've been going through some stuff for a long time. You thought your middle name was trouble. Well, God wants me to let you know today that you're about ready to get out of trouble. And because you've been in so much trouble, that when you get out of trouble, you're going to praise God. You're going to give God the glory. You've been waiting for a day like this. You've been waiting for your blessings to come through. God, so you got to work. You got to let this thing. It's a bad report. It's an incomplete report. They forgot the part that I'm going to give it to you. Anybody here, God promised you something already? You know He promised you? Anybody here ain't get it yet, but He promised you? Anybody still holding on to the promise? I'm saying hold on to the promise. Because no matter who's living there right now, no matter who has it right now, it is in fact still yours. Because fear will block you from moving towards it, but fear does not block the promise. It does not cancel out the promise. But see, you got to get excited about the promise. Too many of us walking around, God promised me that 15 years ago. I ain't get it yet. Got the head all down, head all shaking. And no. I think Sister Pam saying her testimony, you better lift it up. Said she found a verse that said, hey, you ought to be excited. Because when you weep, God has promised somebody a land of Canaan, and because you didn't get it yet, you're about ready to throw in. Don't throw in the towel. Take the towel, wipe the perspiration off your face, because it's hot in here, and get ready for your blessing. But God wants you to know it's about to change. You've been in the wilderness long enough. I'm not just saying this. No, it's about to change, for you've been through it long enough. You've been trying to do right. You've been trying to worship Him. You've been trying to pay your tithes. You've been trying to pay your offering. You've been trying to come to Bible study. You've been trying to understand this Word of God. And the devil's still been nicking at you and all on your track and everything. You've been trying to live right. You've been trying to do right. You've been trying to pray right. You've been trying to walk right. You've been trying to look right. You've been stopped talking about people. You've been stopped cussing folk out. And somebody in your ear giving you a bad report. Talking about, don't do all that. I ain't even in the church. Look at me. I'm blessed. No, you're not blessed. But God wanted me to remind somebody today, the best is yet to come. I know it sounds corny. It sounds like a whole bunch of rhetoric. But it's the real deal. You've been faithful. I know they shut some doors in your face. But God said, they don't own every door. I know somebody set a trap for you, but guess what? That's why you don't see them anymore. They fell in the trap that they set for you. So you got to go for the minority report. The minority report says, what does the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost say? Forget all the people. What does the Trinity say about your life? Because some folks look at you, they don't know what you've been through. They go by how they grew up with you. Some folks don't think you deserve nothing because you messed up before. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Some folks know your life. They know you had a little piece of something. You had a little piece of change or a little piece of business or something. And you messed up on it. And they think like, oh, God ain't no. God never said that to you. God said once you repented and told and once you understood that you were wrong and the mistakes you made, God said, I'm still going to bless you because I'm still your daddy. I still love you. And we don't realize that. We got too many folks giving out the majority, the failed reports, the false reports. And God said, no, I want you to listen to me. It's about time somebody began to listen to God. It's about time we came back to listen to God. We listen to everybody else. CNNONNBNNSIN. When are we going to start listening to God? God's got a word for you. God said, I will bless you and I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Stop being distracted. Stop letting folk mess you up. Get all in your way. After you cry, wipe your eyes and say, okay, Lord. After you get hurt, okay, God, all right. I'm ready to move on now, God. I'm ready to move on. It's dangerous to have fear instead of faith. Fear does not change what God promised you. It may block you and those that were intended to receive the blessing. Just like the Israelites in the wilderness, you and I must believe God on our journey, regardless of what the land looks like. When you spied out, regardless of what it looked like, don't make no difference. Keep on looking because God sent you. That ought to make a difference because God sent you. I know you've been at that job a long time. I know you get on your nerves. I know. But God sent you there for a reason. Find the silver lining in why you're there. Find out why God put you there. It was more than just make money. He put you there as a light in a dark place. If God would pull the curtain back to let you see what they really wanted to do to you and they couldn't, the people that really wanted to just get rid of you. But for some reason, God do not allow. I wish I had a witness in here. Y'all so smart, and they need y'all so bad. Can't none of y'all jobs get rid of y'all. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong church today. Y'all all that. The company don't run without y'all. But if God would pull the curtain back on your life to let you see, not only those that are coming, some of the folks in your family that don't want you to. Oh. That's why you got to learn how to pray yourself through. Because some folks are praying against you. But it's not what they pray against you. It's what God promised you. That's why you got to look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Somebody say, oh, you still doing that? Yeah, for the time being. But in a minute, it's going to change. So you got to have that positive kind. And you're not lying to yourself. Yeah, I'm doing bad right now. I'm not doing as good as I used to. I'm doing bad right now. But guess what? It's about ready to change. Because I got faith in my God. And the last time I got blessed, it came from him. And the time before that I got blessed, it came from him. And the time before that, it came from him. And the time before I even knew him, accepted as my Lord and Savior, it came from him. As a matter of fact, if I look back over my life, every good and perfect thing that happened to me came from God. But now I'm willing to say it. I'm willing to admit it. I'm willing to confess it. I'm willing to possess it. But whatever God told you, but look at it by faith. I know you're down to your last dime, but God ain't broke. You got to remember that. You got to remember that. You know, sometimes when you come to church, it's good to hear a wonderful choir sing. It's good to have a great time. But sometimes you need that word that's going to get you through to next week. Somebody need a word to get them through till Monday. Because they press their way here and say, you know what? Look, I don't even feel like going to church. Stuff all jacked up. I'm going to try to do the best I could. But so I got to get me a word of hope. Somebody got to tell me something. Now the testimony's got me started. Now I need to hear a little bit more about who this God is. Every time they just going to say something, open the doors of the church, think I'm going to come running down front. No, I want to understand what he can do for me. I want to know what my promised land is. I want my grapes, and I want my pomegranates, and I want my milk, and I want my honey. Come on, somebody. I want what God promised me. And I'm getting in position. How do I line up with the will of God so I can get what God promised me? How do I get in the walk? How do I get in step? How do I follow God's word so God can bless me? Anybody tired of living beneath their blessing? God's got something for you. I tell you what, when you go home and you put your same key in that same door, you're still serving a different God. See, we get frustrated with our routine. We think because we're in a routine that God can't bless. God's not a routine God. If he's a routine God, then tell me how come it's so warm today. And last year, the same time, it was cold. Tell me how come Hurricane Sandy tore down some places, didn't touch others. If he's just a routine kind of God. If he's a routine kind of God, tell me how come you prayed for a job last year and you working this year if he's just routine. Routine means leave everything routine. No, we serve an awesome God. The New Revised Standard Version says God is not a human being that he should lie or a mortal that he should change his mind. Has he promised and will he not do it? Has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? Sometimes God just want to know how much faith you got. Do you have enough faith to hold on? In spite of. Anybody got enough faith? You got to fill your tank sometimes. Like you fill your car up. You got to go back to the well of God's word and get you some more faith. Amen. You got to get you some more. Because look, you get tired of looking this way and looking that way. And it's still looking this way and looking that way. But when you can see God in the mix. When you know God hasn't given up on you. And don't be surprised when you say, God ain't saying nothing. That's when he's speaking the loudest. That's when God is still working. He's working the best when it's nice and quiet. Because there's a lot of noise sometimes. You think something's going to happen. But sometimes it becomes a still small voice. I was just sitting here. And all of a sudden, my telephone rang. I was just sitting here. All of a sudden, my doorbell rang. And here comes God with a blessing. But as a believer, you and I need to understand that when you get the report, who shall believe the report of the Lord? What did God promise you? And what promises has he already fulfilled? That because it happened so long ago, you no longer give God glory for it. But I tell you, I ought to put it in your memory bank. Because if he worked it out last time, he's going to work it out this time. I don't care how wide, I don't care what the problem is. God can work it out if you release it unto him. Because he says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that, you know, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He will stand by the rivers of water, due season. Be not weary and well doing, for in due season, somebody get ready to reap. I wish I had some farmers in here. Because if you were a farmer, you would see the harvest and you can. But you're going to reap what you. What have you sown? Have you honored God? Have you given God glory? Have you given God praise? Have you trusted God? What have you sown into the kingdom? Somebody need to go get, not a shopping bag, one of them great big glad trash bags that can stretch. Because when you get blessed, we get blessed too. Somebody going to come here Wednesday night or next Sunday and say, Pastor, I ain't never listened to you for the 15 years y'all been here, but this Sunday. This past Sunday, I got that word all up in there. And everything gets fast. Faithful is he that calls you to do it. He will also do it. You just got to understand that no matter what the other 10 say, what does the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost say? I want to hang around some folk like Joshua and Caleb that can see it. That's the kind of folk I like to be. Folk that got vision. Not only for themselves, but vision for other folk. And vision for the church. And vision for life. And vision for ministry. And they believe that God could do it. I wish I had me some believers up in here. Whatever you're struggling over today, I'm telling you, God's going to bless you. Give it to God. Whatever the situation, you give it to God. You give it to God. And while you give it to God, the devil going to pull up a picture of what it is, what it looks like right now. But said, thank you, because I wanted to compare it when I get my blessing. Thank you, devil. Thank you for the picture right now. But when I get the next, oh my God. Let us stand. Glory be to God. See, he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I know it don't look right now. I know it looks like a wilderness. But tell me somebody, did you ever hear the Lord's voice while you were in a strange place? Were you ever able to sing God's song in a strange land because you took him with you everywhere you went? Is there anybody here that God has never left, that God has never forsaken? There's a majority report. There's a minority report. Whose report will you believe?